This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagland. You got, oh, man, Alec Medford.
Oh, man.
The famous Jacob Ray. Now, I want to remind everybody, Friday, we're going to be off of Collins in Arlington at Taco Bueno. Got confirmation that Athena, the forever Ring of Honor Women's World Champion and Metroplex native, she's from Garland, just saying, is going to be there at 12:30. We've got the opportunity for you to win one of the two Tolo whiskey sets, which they look incredible. It's so fancy. Instead of getting sent a picture, we got sent a video of how cool it is. And so it's unbelievable. I didn't even drink, and I think it's super duper neat. Plus, I have a couple more Tolo Go shirts. And I'm going to try to give Corey one that might not be his size because I accidentally gave his away. Now!
I want to see that.
Yes, me too. What brought you sports pain in 2025? I'm going to go to cut number four because most years I feel like this could be competitive. It could go in a whole bunch of different directions. I'm willing to bet overwhelmingly this will be the answer, so we might as well just throw it out there right now.
Yes, this is real because it didn't feel like it. Dallas sending Luka Doncic, Maxi Kleba, and Markieff Morris to the Lakers for Anthony Davis, Max Christie, and the Lakers' first-round pick in 2029. The Utah Jazz had to get involved to make the whole thing happen. They land Jalen Huccifino and a couple of second-round picks.
Look, I've already seen it from the 817. You know what's interesting? It's being reframed, though, not as Luka, but as Nico. So I've seen some that are like, nothing hurts more than Luka getting traded this year for a broken down minivan. But a lot of other people from the 972, 214, 2 from the 817, Nico brings me sports pain. And so they're like, not even referring to the actual deal. But fair to assume that for the Metroplex, it would overwhelmingly be Nico Harrison's trade of Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
Or a disappointing return. That's the other thing. So, I'm so sorry, Alec.
No, you're fine.
For jumping in there. It's the trade itself would have always been really, really devastating for Metroplex fans. But it's the return that, like, somehow made it even worse. And I wouldn't have thought it could have felt worse.
Sure. It would have, like, just as a fan of the player and the homegrown thing, it would have sucked to see him go. But if you said, oh, there was five first-round picks and two other players, and blah, blah, then you're like, okay, they got a return. It still sucks because our guy is gone, but they did the right thing in terms of exhausting all their options and yada, yada. They didn't do that. They literally made one call and one meeting at a coffee shop. And that is about it. And I've been reminded of this recently because there's a new TikTok trend that's going around where it was like, it's somebody laying in bed and they're knocked out asleep. And it was like that fateful night that your Dallas Mavericks diehard fan friend called you at midnight, you know, and it's just them freaking out on the phone and you're just like trying to figure out what's going on. That's all over my feed. So I've been reliving that experience because I was not asleep. I was watching the Royal Rumble post show afterwards because it was the same night. The post show was on. So we were just watching Triple H talk or whatever at the house. And out of nowhere,
so you're saying Jey Uso winning the Rumble was the most disappointing thing of the year.
I mean, at the moment, I didn't hate it. I really didn't.
I'm just kidding.
I know. But yeah, I've been reliving that moment a lot recently thanks to social media. And I'm reliving it again because of Kevin Hagelin. So
I didn't make the trade.
You didn't, but you reminded me that it happened.
So can I tell you, my experience then is I did go to sleep as everybody in my house had been sick. And like, I was just so freaking tired at that point. And I woke up like, I don't know, a couple hours later, and I looked at my phone and it was like, you have 18 text messages. I was like, what the hell? Everybody in my family is home right now and I don't understand what's happening. And so of course I looked, I was like, oh man, something bad. And then I just opened, I opened one randomly. It wasn't even the top one. And it was like, oh man, is this real? And I saw the Luka trade and I was like, that's stupid. I'm so tired of people just seeing things on social media and spreading it around. And then I opened like three or four more texts and they all said the same thing. Then I sat up in bed. I'm like, what the hell? And then I was up for like the next 2 hours. So I get it.
Hey, and I like this from the 972. I forgot I should be mad at the Jazz as well for helping in this heist. Yeah, Justin Zanuck, screw you, buddy. Why did you get involved in that? Stay fair. Over there in Utah, man.
Very fair. And then what made it just like it was so bad. And then AD gets three quarters in and gets hurt. And then Kyrie gets hurt and is out for the rest of the year. And he's been out for this season. And so like any semblance of hope it ever was to see that group together, you're like, no.
Hey,
no.
Those first three quarters of AD, though. Oh boy.
See,
oh boy.
I know, you're right. But Nico can't go. Did you see those three quarters? You like those three quarters? Yeah, you did.
Yeah, 75 cents for you.
For me, that's obviously number one. But unfortunately, there are other answers too.
Oh no.
Can you go ahead and give me cut number five? This beat me down pretty hard this sports year.
A stunning loss by the way it turned out early in this game. Two goals early, Jake Oettinger pulled Dallas, trying to claw their way back in. Twice, they get it to one goal. Twice, the Oilers pull away again. And they are the Western Conference champions.
I'm glad that that guy sounds as sad as I am.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Because what I wrote was the stupid Edmonton Oilers. Look, I've talked about it. Sometimes subtlety is not my forte. But beating the Stars in the Western Conference Finals for the second straight year. Then it was the third straight year that the Stars just in general lost in the Western Conference Finals. That sucked. And transactionally, obviously, it's Luka. On the field, the court, the ice. Man, I feel like this is pretty damn high up there.
It's high up there for me, too, because it feels like a more rooted in reality version of what people joke about Cowboys fans to be
right
on social media and stuff. This is our year. This is our year. Like, I feel like most Cowboys fans aren't even like that and never really have been. But for me, the Stars, they are that good and they are that close every single year the past three, 4 years where I'm like, okay, this is the year that Jim Nill makes that one
move
where they have negative $15 million in cap space, but he does his magic, and at the deadline, he gets that one veteran that pushes their defense to the next level or their power play or something, and it just makes them three steps ahead of everybody else, and they get that close.
Yeah.
Last year, I seriously thought after the Mikko trade and seeing how quick he integrated himself with the team and how his role evolved, I was like, this is the year that they put it all together. And especially when we took Hellebuck out of the playoffs.
Oh, man. You know what? That should have been my favorite from yesterday. Should have been that Connor Hellebuck song.
Oh, God.
That's Connor Hellebuck, buck, buck.
I hated every time you looked at me with that look, which I knew. There was a look. There was no communication. It was just a look that was, get the stupid song ready and figure it out. And, of course, I got to hit spacebar. I got to play it, but I hated every second of it. But I just hated all the conversation around him being, he's unstoppable. He's the best player right now in the playoffs, blah, blah, blah. And we made him look very, very human. And his dumbass laying on his back after that one goal, that was incredible. I still have that picture that I think Choppy tweeted the second after when they got the overhead shot, and he was just laying sprawled out on his back. He was like, look how dumb he looks. Best player in the playoffs, my ass.
From the 214, A&M giving us hope by going 11-0 and then going 0-2 to end the season. You know, and so that's interesting, and I very much respect everyone's point of view on this. I had A&M going 11-0 as the thing that made me happiest in sports this year, just because I'd never really seen them kind of get to that level. You know, like, I know they lost the next two games, and that was really tough. That was heartbreaking. I told the story, true story. I'd gone to a funeral before the Miami Texas A&M game, so some people would be like, hey, so you had two funerals. But just seeing them on that level, I still took a lot of joy out of it. You know, I know there are plenty of other teams like Georgia, Ohio State. They're like, who cares? But for me, I cared a lot. This is the best team I'd seen since either freshman year Johnny, when I wish they had a playoff and I think they would have won it all, or in 98 when A&M won the Big 12 championship. But I understand why that was heartbreaking for them. Now, we've gone through a lot already, Jacob. Do you have anything else, anything that particularly brought you sports sadness this year? Or if there's any other audio that you want to play, you have all the options in the world. We want the Stanley Cup, Cup, Cup. We want the Stanley Cup, Cup, Cup. We want the Stanley Cup. MOSSEY, Josh Morrissey, yeah, he's our guy. Velarde, Lowry, Mark Scheifele, Building. Connor, Ehlers, here and the MVP.
Oh, did you take your earphones out?
That's right.
Are your earbuds?
I can still hear it.
Oh. How long do you think they worked on these lyrics?
How long?
Good question.
Wait. Well, I think we just learned what brought Alec the most sports pain in 2025. Is that you. Last 45 seconds or so? Yeah, I guess it probably was me. Yes. Thank you very much, Jacob, for playing that. That brought me a great deal of joy. But outside of that, is there anything else that brought you sports pain?
It's going to be me is what it's going to be. I'm going to go on the football side. And it probably just because it's like one of the most fun I think I've had watching a team. And it was the Cowboys on that 3-game win streak. I was so bummed out when they lost to the Lions because I was fully in the mind space of like, if this team squeaks their way into the playoffs with the defense just playing a little bit better with how good that offense is, they could really make some noise. And I was totally excited to possibly cover a Dallas Cowboys playoff run. And then they crashed and burned, and that was such a bummer.
Yeah, I mean, that is very fair. If you want to play the cut, and you can decide if you want to say what it's labeled as, this is cut number 6. Essentially, I put the Cowboys playing yet another irrelevant slate of December football, let alone January and February.
Two tight ends, Eagles show a blitz. They give it to Turpin, and he trips over the 30-yard line and fumbles the ball. At
wow.
The 35, and the Eagles have this one.
That's a great... wow. From Babe Laufenberg, as I essentially said, get me a cut of the Cowboys doing something effing stupid. And that play right there might be the epitome of it. And I'll just address this real quick instead of texting back. The thing is, Texas A&M was never on that level, Kevin. They're fraudulent. That's just a foolish thing to say. Look at everything going into it. They were 11-1. They beat three ranked teams on the road. They had one of the best wins all season in that win over Notre Dame. Their strength of schedule was 15th in the country. That's not from me. That's from ESPN, and their strength of record was 4th or 5th. I know they lost because somebody almost got concussed.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
pressed on what should have been a targeting penalty, and they would have scored a touchdown right there. But whatever. We would have lost. We lost, and so that's okay. But just to say they were never there, that's just silly. Like, that is just provably untrue. What about yet another season of mediocre Rangers baseball?
Bingo.
You know how many winning seasons the Rangers have had in the last 9 years?
Not enough.
One. When they won the World Series. So if you want to argue, at least they did get back up to 500 this year. I suppose that is a small victory. But think about that. In 9 seasons, you have a winning record once. Once. Luckily, you did win the World Series that year. But yes. That's crazy.
My thought process, because I knew it was going to be Rangers for me, was going to be my main answer outside of Luka. I was like, what can I really pinpoint about them? Because there were so many disappointing aspects to really the past couple of seasons since the World Series run. But then I thought about it like this. I visioned it in my head all over again. I'll take you back to a game on May 21st as a great example against the New York Yankees. And I just hear the RSN postgame show on these airwaves starting. Jared Sandor says, well, Jacob DeGrom tosses a gem of a game, 7 innings, 9 strikeouts, and the Rangers lose 4-3.
That
why is this happening? And it felt like it was happening way too much, where it was a Nathan Eovaldi start. It was a Jacob DeGrom start. Heck, even when he was healthy, Cody Bradford, even. Yeah. You could throw his name in there. Like, there were so many great opportunities for your offense to say, let's be one run better than the other team.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we can do some collectible corner. Perhaps my buddy's an idiot, but also we will hear from Brian Schottenheimer. Here's what I want everyone to consider. How many questions will be asked about Trayvon Diggs before any question about any other topic comes up? We'll find out next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We will hear from Brian Schottenheimer in just a few minutes. But before we get to that, we've done some reflecting on 2025. I wanted to give you some data that I think is just wild if you look at some of these sports. The players that were the most searched by each league.
Ooh.
So for the NFL, it's Jaden Daniels 1, and then J.J. McCarthy, Caleb Williams, Bo Nix, and Drake May. All right, so all contemporary, younger players, quarterbacks. All right, makes sense. I get that. But then you get to the NBA, and it gets a little wild. Let's start at 5. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, then LeBron, then Kobe, then Wemby, and number 1 is Michael Jordan. So somebody who's been retired for like 25 years-ish, I guess 20 after the second retirement, is still the number 1 most searched NBA current or former player. And then you get to Major League Baseball, where it goes all over the place. Shohei Ohtani is the most searched. Then Ken Griffey Jr., then Mickey Mantle, and then Paul Skeens and Ellie De La Cruz. I like the idea that somebody's like, oh, I need some Paul Skeens info. You know what? I'm going to look up Mickey Mantle while I'm at it. Just because. And hockey is kind of oddly similar. Number 1 is Wayne Gretzky, then Connor Bedard, then Sidney Crosby, Patrick Waugh, and Mario Lemieux. So we go all over the place as well. But we've talked a whole lot about cards this year.
Yes.
So, Alec, if you had to guess, which sports or sports-ish do you think have seen the biggest uptick in popularity this year?
You love giving me hints, and you saying ish tells me one of them, professional wrestling.
More specifically, WWE. Because I know people get really bent out of shape when we bring that up on the show. But interest in search values and average sales of WWE cards are up 125% compared to last year. That is ahead of the NHL is third at plus 40% and F1 at plus 35%. So just think about it. Like, Those are big jumps, 35%, 40%, and then it goes all the way up to 125% for WWE. But that is only second. So what sport saw a bigger rise than 125% in search levels and sales? Well, it's the WNBA, because Shotty's ready to talk right here on The Fan.
Spurs are really good.
Like their quarterback?
I do. Yeah, good player, man. What's your name?
Calvin Watson.
Okay, good. All right, here we go.
Where you work? The Dallas Morning News.
Nice, nice, nice.
What's the reasoning behind releasing Trayvon Diggs?
Yeah, I just, you know, in looking at it, you know, we came up with the decision. It was really a culmination of multiple factors, performance, other elements. He's been an incredible player for this organization, and I really do. I truly do. I like Trayvon a lot. I wish him nothing but the best, and I'm, you know, excited to see where he lands and watch him continue his career.
Seems as if that he wanted to stay in the D.C. area, and apparently you said no. How was that play a factor into what ended up doing?
Yeah, it was one of many factors. It was not the only factor. I'm not the Grinch that stole Christmas. Okay, I love Christmas. I love my family. But at the end of the day, we have a protocol that we go through, and the process was not followed. First time I heard about it, Trayvon, you know, grabbed me after the game, and I'm celebrating a big win. And I explained to him the protocol, which has always been the protocol of we go up as a team, we come back as a team. And he decided to make a different decision. But I'll say this, Calvin, it was not the only reason that this decision was made.
Clarence, DLS Cowboys, regarding that pro call, so it didn't matter when he asked. You go up the team, back to the team. If you asked Monday, if you asked before the game, it didn't matter when it was.
Yeah.
My protocol,
unless there's a family emergency or something specific, the protocol is we all go up. And other players had asked earlier in the week, and they were told the same thing. And I made that very clear to Trayvon, and he certainly didn't agree. And that's okay. That's his prerogative. But at the end of the day, I want to make this very clear. That was not the only reason that this happened. This happened for multiple factors, performance, other elements over the course of time. And I truly do wish him nothing but the best. I told him that yesterday when I talked to him. I said, I'm excited to see you continue your career.
Why did things not work with him? Did he not buy into the coach outside of the performance? You know, was it a disconnect all the time, or when did it become a disconnect with him?
No, I mean, I think, you know, it's one of those situations when I look back on it, you know, I mean, like I said, I really do like Trayvon. I want what's best for him. I think at the end of the day, you know, maybe he doesn't like some of the things that we did. I don't know. You guys have to ask him that. But again, I thought he was trying to do better. And like I said, I wish him nothing but the best of luck. And, you know, we'll see where he lands. I'm sure he'll land on his feet and continue to play good football.
Shifting to the Giants game real quickly. Any different decision made on Dak Prescott? Will he play? Will he start? How long will he play? Where are you in that process?
Yeah, Dak will start the game. Dak will certainly play. We're playing to win the game. I talked to the team today just about the importance of us, you know, trying to finish strong and get to 8-8-1. And as we build a championship football team, I think we're learning that you have to dominate your division. And a chance to go 5-1 in the division is, I think, something that would be really cool for us to be able to have that. But, again, we're going to play the game and see how the game goes. And I certainly can, you know, adjust my thinking if I deem it, you know, fit and reasonable to do.
Ryan Todd Archer with ESPN. Other stops that you've been at throughout your coaching career, have players been allowed to stay or take different modes home after games, or is that a rare instance?
Again, I can't. Most plays I've been, you go up as a team, you come back as a team. That's certainly what I believe in. Why? We're family, you know, and these guys had 3 days off, and you guys know it's been talked about. You know, I flew home with the team, and the next morning I jumped on a plane. You know, I was going to go get away. I wanted our guys to get away. But, yeah, just something that's important to me. You guys know how important culture is. And, you know, when you win, it's fun to be together and celebrate. And when you lose, it's good to be together to talk and discuss and try to, you know, work through the problem. So I'm not saying other teams do it differently, but that's very clearly been said to our guys. That's the way that, that we operate here as the Dallas Cowboys.
And then with Dak and the season that he's had, do you look at it as a missed opportunity that he played this well and then your season ends Sunday?
Yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, he played very well, Todd. I mean, he did. He had a really good year. And we did not win enough games. He didn't play perfect. You know, I didn't call a perfect season. We've had our ups and downs, but, you know, the only reason it's a missed opportunity is because, you know, we're not getting into the playoffs, and there's a lot of reasons for that. And I think Dak still has a ton of great football ahead of him.
And then, that was my next question about the – how much longevity do you see for Dak? Obviously, he's battled some injuries, but he's getting through this season. How much longer does he have left?
Yeah, I see a guy that keeps getting better and better, Todd. You know, I mean, I think some of the things that we did from a footwork training and stuff, we've talked about that throughout the year. I thought he has really bought into that and excelled at that stuff. And any more of these quarterbacks, you know, I'm amazed. You know, you watch what Brady did, and I'm not saying he's going to play till he's 48 or whatever Tom was, but even watching Aaron Rodgers play, you know, these guys, as their brains develop and they just continue to learn and see so much, I think you're seeing quarterbacks play more and more. So, I think he has a number of good years left.
John Michaud with The Athletic, you know, when you take this job, you have Trayvon Diggs, you have Deron Bland, they're obviously going to be a big part of your defensive backfield. No more Trayvon. Deron's dealing with another foot injury. Just kind of what's your outlook for that cornerback position going forward?
Yeah, again, you know, it's certainly an area that we'll look at, you know, and we've got a guy in Siobhan Revel that we like. You know, we like Kalen Carson. You know, TreQuest Bridges is a talented young player that needs development and seasoning. And, you know, you guys get it. You guys have been around this business. I mean, personnel changes fast. I mean, you know, this team, I told the guys today is the last Wednesday of the 2025 Dallas Cowboys. I said, so be grateful for that, enjoy that, celebrate that, because this team will never be back together for another Wednesday, and that's the life of an NFL employee. You know, just that there's going to be change. But, again, I like some of the pieces that we have, and we'll always be looking to add and, you know, keep putting the puzzle together.
And Sunday, what's the biggest thing you want to see from your defense?
Again, I think, you know, watching these guys, we got to stop the run. You know, they run the ball very, very well, including the quarterback. He's slippery. Jackson Dart, of course. I think it starts with that, and then you got to take Robinson away. I mean, they're doing a great job. I think he had 12 or 13 targets or something last game. But I think it starts with stopping the run. And if we can stop the run, make them one-dimensional, I think that's a good place to start. But, you know, they're coming off a big win in Vegas, and obviously the defensive front is an elite unit.
What's your New Year's Eve plans?
Be doing some third down. If you guys would like to come up and spend some time, maybe when the ball drops, Clarence, we can come and, you know, embrace. That would be nice. Yeah, have a little embrace, dap it up. Don't dap it. I won't do that until I leave the building league office. No, I'll be here with the guys working.
Nick Harris, Four-Star Telegram. I know you've talked a lot about consistency with guys. Obviously, Trayvon didn't give you guys that throughout the course of the season. For some younger guys that you've talked about and you've challenged, how can this kind of serve as an example for them just to kind of show, like, hey, this is one of the highest paid players on the team, had a big status, but yet it's all about buying into that consistency?
Yeah, again, I think, you know, I'm not going to use just Trayvon because, again, I respect the hell out of Trayvon. I really do. And, you know, when I, you know, I've seen what he's done here and the impact that he's had for this organization. And honestly, he was rewarded for that, which was great and was deserved. But to me, it's each individual is part of the team. And the team requires consistency because the team wants to win. You know, John just asked me, what do I want from the defense? And I was going to say, honestly, let's get a win. You know, I mean, because that's what you say when you guys ask me about Dak. What do you want? Well, I want 5 touchdowns from Dak. No, I don't. I want to win, you know. But consistency is part of sustaining success and winning and developing a great team. And, you know, I think the young players that are around us and some of these veterans, when I talk about veterans, Dak Prescott, Jadeveon Clowney, Kenny Clark, those guys are consistent. They're great players, but damn, they're consistent. I mean, they give us everything that they got every day. And they work their asses off, and they prep, and they're here early, and they're in the training room getting treated, and they just do everything right. And I think if you want to model yourself after some guys, we have at least probably 15 to 20 veteran players that I think model that consistency, and that's cool for the young players to draw from.
And then anything special planned for the final competition Wednesday, or is it just...
Well, thank you for asking. We are in the finals of the sharp shooting championship. We had a big upset today. The past champion, Sam Williams, lost. Yeah, he was defeated today by Wanya Thomas. And then Will Greer beat Terp. So we're working through that, and I'll let you guys know later in the week who the champion is.
Quick one. You have a corner spot open, obviously. Is Josh Butler a candidate to get elevated?
Yeah, we're talking about a lot of different things. You know, like I said, you guys haven't asked me, so I'm not going to share, but we're beat up right now. And so we'll see how it goes. We're pretty beat up. Yeah, we're pretty beat up. You guys will see the injury report. But we have a few guys that, again, we'll work out and see how they're doing. And physical game we just played.
Tommy Arsh, DallasCowboys.com. Speaking of beat up, how much will Javonte and Malik do today?
Yeah, again, both those guys will do very little. Individual, probably, see how they're moving around. But those are two of the guys that are beat up. Good news is Malik's eye is beginning to open. You know, so it looks like he and Jake Paul looked a lot alike, you know. He's feeling better. But, again, they won't do a whole lot today.
And then you mentioned it briefly there, but what's different about this Giants offense with Jackson Dart?
Again, I think you start with just his athleticism, his ability to extend plays, you know. I was at his pro day at Ole Miss, and I loved his moxie. I loved the way you can see they follow him, right? They believe in him. And, his ability to extend plays is the first thing that jumps out, you know. And when you extend plays, not just as a runner, it's making throws and things like that. But I'll use this word. I love his swag. He's got good swag about him.
Scholar.
Trying to read between the lines a little bit on your answers over the last couple of months on Trayvon. It seemed like maybe you didn't connect with him like you have with a lot of your players. Is that fair or unfair?
No, I don't think so. I think Trayvon and I had a lot of hard conversations. And it wasn't always me, the one having the hard conversations. And I think that's why I have a soft spot for Trayvon, because we had some real difficult conversations. And sometimes we agreed to disagree. But, I don't think I did not reach him. I think at the end of the day, I look back on my time with Trayvon as times that I enjoyed, and that's why I do, truly. These are not just words. I wish him nothing but the best, and I hope wherever he lands, I expect him to go and play well.
What can you take from interactions with him going forward, sort of things you've learned or whatever as a head coach?
I just think that it reminds me, Skyler, that I'm not going to change. You know, I'm going to have hard conversations, and sometimes people don't like it. You know, and I'm not saying Trayvon necessarily. I have hard conversations all the time. This is one of the toughest decisions of being a head coach is these roster decisions, right? You know, you're not just affecting, you know, one person. You're affecting his family. You're affecting a locker room. I mean, these are difficult decisions that are hard to make. And believe me, I don't make these things casually. You know, we didn't sit down and say, hey, Trayvon didn't take the plane. No, it wasn't that. It was a culmination of multiple factors. And, hey, this might be great for Trayvon. Go find a permanent home. I mean, that's my hope for him, is that he does it. But none of these decisions are made casually or without taking into account that it affects people's lives and in a very competitive environment. And that's the way I at least look at it. And some people – I don't think some people do as head coaches. So, of course, it's hard to make those decisions.
Joe
Wade, Dallas Morning News. You mentioned the locker room as a component of that. When you make a move like this, do you talk to the locker room? Do you convey the explanation, or do you just kind of help that in?
No, again, my door is always open, you know, and if guys have questions, again, you know, they get the business side of football, our players do. There's a lot of love for Trayvon from this podium right here to our players in that locker room, and I think everybody, you know, wishes him well. But, you know, like, again, that is the nature of our business. You know, coaches, you get hired, you get fired. You know, players, you get released, you get traded. I mean, it's part of the deal. And you don't address every decision. You know, some you do, and some you don't. But in this case, didn't feel like we had to.
And then earlier this season, he asked Eberflus to play more man coverage. He talked a little bit recently about zone. Do you think maybe it was one of those things from a performance standpoint where the zone system and him just never really acclimated this season?
I don't know. I don't want to question, you know, Trayvon. Again, none of us have played or coached well enough on defense at times this year. And again, I think your job when you play in the National Football League is whether you.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
You call a run or a pass on offense, you call zone or man, is to do your job. And that's coaching, that's playing. And again, I think that's, you know, one of the shortcomings that we had this year was overall we didn't do enough of all those things good enough to get into the tournament, because you can't win a championship without getting in the tournament.
And is Rebel still in concussion protocol?
Yes, working through the protocol and making progress.
Garrett Podell, CBS Sports. You mentioned some decisions you do mention in the locker room. You said with this one with Diggs, you didn't feel you needed to address it. Why is that?
Yeah, again, I think the biggest one that we probably addressed was the Micah trade, you know, and that was the start of the season and all of that. And I've had conversations with a couple of players, but I didn't feel like, you know, I had to stand up in front of the room. And guys can come talk to me. You know, I talk to you guys every day. You know, they know my door is always open. And if they have questions or concerns, I would love to talk about it. But I'm going to say this again. This decision that was made was very difficult. This decision was not made because he chose to not get on a plane. That was not the only factor involved. And I think, you know, that's important because, you know, to me, this team and what we're building, this culture that we're building, is about that. The 53 strongest, most connected group of people. I believe that. And that's why the team element to me is so important.
How do you feel like this move helps or impacts your culture going forward?
I haven't given that much thought. My culture, our culture here, is going to always be based on people. And, you know, when you bring people in, you guys know we're looking for certain type of people. And when we release people, it's not just because they're bad people or they don't buy into culture or they're not good players or whatever it is. You know, you're only allowed, you know, certain amount of people on your roster. So, again, I haven't really thought about it, to be honest with you.
Christy Scales, Cowboys Radio, 105.3, The Fan. Giants, obviously a familiar opponent, but so much has changed in 3.5 months, not just personnel-wise, but with their staff, and to even change a defensive coordinator. Have you seen, is the new coordinator had time to put his own stamp on anything?
Yeah, I think Charlie's done a really good job. Yeah, I think what you've seen them do, Christy, is simplify some things. You know, Shane Bowen, I have a ton of respect for Shane, and you know, he built some great defenses in Tennessee, and but they were very exotic and very multiple. And you know, what looks like Charlie and Coach Kafka have done is just kind of simplify things and you know, unleash their studs up front and let them try to impact the game and just kind of try to keep the ball in front of them. But yeah, you definitely see his fingerprint, and it looks a little bit different. And the biggest thing is it looks like they've just tightened up their volume.
Clarence.
Jerry Jones said on the radio yesterday, or what day was it, Monday, Tuesday?
Tuesday morning,
that changes, he will make decisions, want to make pronto decisions on whether you guys will make changes on defense. How fast do you want to get that done?
Yeah, again, I, you know, you would understand the answer, and you know it is Clarence. I mean, I want to get through this game, and then everything's going to be evaluated. You guys know that. But the biggest thing that we want to do is we want to make right decisions in everything that we do. And so, you know, again, my focus right now is really not on New Year's, right? It's on, you know, figuring out how to block Dexter Lawrence, you know, sexy Dexy. I mean, he is a big man, and that's where our focus is on right now.
You know, after 15 or 16 games, can one game make a difference, you know, for schemes, coaches, players? Or how much can one game or performance of one game make a difference when you got 16 games of evidence?
Yeah, again, I think the way I would answer that question is all the games matter to us. We put a lot of, you know, time and effort into this. We have take great pride in trying to get to 5-1, get to 8-8-1. But when we look back at this season and everything's evaluated, it's not just going to be about the outcome of the New York Giants Week 17 game. It's going to be going back to Philadelphia and going back before that to training camp and the way we trained. And it's an exhausting process, but as a guy that loves to work and do after action reports, it's one of the things I love about the job.
That it?
Good. Thanks, guys. See you out there.
There you go. Brian Schottenheimer right here on 105 Through the Fan. Huge upset in the room as only four consecutive Trayvon Diggs questions were asked before there was a pivot to the Giants. However, it immediately went back to Trayvon Diggs, as probably was to be expected. All right, we're going to move on to something else entirely from that and kind of reconnect with the conversation that we were just having, kind of a little collectibles corner, and then I want to throw up some My Buddy is an Idiot. If you, all right, relax.
That sounded gross. I'm sorry.
Too fat for that. All right, so if you had to guess which athlete or athletes had the most graded cards this past year in 2025, who would you select? I've got the top 10 on the board.
Ooh, most graded cards. I would say Paul Skeens is in there.
Paul Skeens is number 9. He is one of two Major League Baseball players on the list. Jacob Ray, do you care to guess at who the other one is?
Shohei Ohtani.
Shohei Ohtani is correct. Now, keep in mind, there are no more baseball players on this list, but you got two of them. Alec Medford, we go back to you. Shohei Ohtani's number 3. Sorry, I don't know if I said that out loud.
You know what? I want to get this one out of the way because I think he's still super relevant. Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan is number 2.
What?
On the list.
I thought he would be at the bottom of the list.
Number 2 on the list. He is the only not currently active player in the top 10, and he's second. You know how many Michael Jordan cards got graded this year? 206,000.
Jeez.
Michael Jordan, number 2. All right. We go back to you, Jacob. A lot of pressure. 3 for 3 so far. Who else would you have in the top 10?
I'm really hoping he's not number 1, but I got to go LeBron.
LeBron James. Incorrect. Ooh. There is only one other NBA player, or perhaps I should say MNBA player, who is in the top 10, but it is not LeBron.
I know who the other male basketball player is. Victor Wembanyama.
That is correct. Victor Wembanyama is number 6 on the list. And you should probably be able to guess the WNBA one.
Yeah. If you don't.
Caitlin Clark.
Caitlin Clark is correct. So you've got Jordan at 2, Shohei at 3, Caitlin Clark at 4, Wemby at 6, and Skeens at 9. The other 5 are all NFL players.
Wow. Okay. I think I know number 1. And I think I would lean Jaden Daniels.
Jaden Daniels is correct. 236,000. 1,000 Jaden Daniels cards were graded. And look, if I can opine for just 1 second, that's one of the problems with the hobby right now. Hey, you got a regular Donruss Jaden Daniels rookie? Good job. That's a nice card. I like it. You didn't need to get that graded. Yeah. All right. There's four more on the list. They are all quarterbacks.
Shocker.
Patrick Mahomes.
Incorrect. Wow. You suck at this game.
I do.
You really do. That's how I know you don't collect cards.
I don't.
You got to think about who came into the league recently. And
I'm not saying Patrick Mahomes is not better than all these other players.
Yeah, exactly. It's just rookie cards are going to dominate most of the time. Give me J.J. McCarthy.
J.J. McCarthy is number 10 on the list. Also on the list, Bo Nix, Caleb Williams, and Drake May. So most graded cards. Jaden Daniels 1, Michael Jordan 2, Shohei, Caitlin Clark, Bo Nix, Wemby, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Paul Skeens, and J.J. McCarthy.
Gross.
Number 10, J.J. McCarthy, 89,000. Jaden Daniels, 236,000. That's how big that gap is. Now, we're going to switch gears yet again. I try to tell you, try to cram as much content into the show as possible. Give me number 10, because we're going to do a preemptive My Buddy's an Idiot.
Power play for the Leafs. Fighting off is Jason Robertson. Turns to it. Shot. He scores. Oh, my. Jason Robertson out-muscled Toronto.
Now, this is a very unusual tactic on this show. Usually, My Buddy is an Idiot discusses things that have already transpired. However, I am preemptively angry about Jason Robertson being left off the United States hockey team, because it looks like that's the way it's going. And that absolutely sucks. There is no American-born player in the NHL right now who has more goals than Jason Robertson. They're going to take 10 forwards. You're telling me we can't find a spot for him on that group? But that's what Yardbarker seems to think. That's what Sean Shapiro seems to think, or Shapiro if you love fire.
Ooh.
And that's probably not. And so it looks like he is on the outside looking in, and that is just crazy to me. So a preemptive My Buddy's an Idiot to U.S. hockey.
That just blows, because I get it. There might be this like preconceived idea that he is still
soft.
What he used to be, which is soft. And I know Corey threw out the idea that I hate if it's true, and I don't believe it's true. Maybe he is playing up a little bit this year because he wants to make the Olympic team. I don't think that personally. I think it's a possibility for sure, but I don't think so personally. I think he's just a better player. I think he's evolving. He's still super young. I think he's adding elements to his game. And hey, correct me if I'm wrong. I think you like to score in hockey to win games.
It's pretty important. Some would argue the most important
thing. And as you mentioned, he is quite literally the best at doing it right now.
And they're like, I'm good.
We're good.
Preemptive.
Soft.
Now, back to the regular part of My Buddy's an Idiot, the Pittsburgh Steelers. I know you might be like, you already dumped on the Steelers a lot this week. Well, guess what? I'm not done. The Pittsburgh Steelers, in their last five games against teams that are eight or more games below 500, are winless. The last five times the Steelers have played a team that is eight games below 500 or worse, they have not won. That ties the longest streak in NFL history. They just lost to the Browns at 3-12. 2 years ago, the 2-10 Patriots. That same year, the 2-10 Cardinals. 2 years before that, they tied the 0-8 Lions. And then in 2020, they lost to the 2-10-1 Bengals. So, good news for the Steelers is, if they beat the Ravens, they'll be playing all good teams. So perhaps that's where they'll thrive, because when they play the worst of the worst, they don't win. And because of that, they're idiots. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's do some NFL overreaction or reality right here on The Fan.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.